Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 340. In the news this week, just to let you know, I am recording this one a few days early because I'm going to be on somewhat of a mini tour coming up here this week, and I won't have a lot of time to put together a show the day I come back. And then later this month, of course, April 28th, is the Ezekiel Bates Masonicon 2018, and I'll be part of a panel and moderating as well, the Star Wars and Freemasonry panel. And what's very exciting about this, we have a Grand Lodge officer, Brother Mike Jarzebeck, who has written for us on the Midnight Freemasons, who will be on the panel, as well as my good friend and brother Greg Kaminsky. It's going to be pretty fantastic. But there's no breaks for us. Brother Greg Kaminsky is actually going to be coming right here for a two-night event, May 9th and 10th. And it's going to be presenting the Kabbalistic Alchemy of David Heim Smith and another lecture that Greg does, and it's called Celestial Intelligences, the Syncretic Angelology and Spiritual Ascent of Renaissance Philosopher Giovanni Pico della Mirandola. So if you guys are curious, Brother Greg is a Harvard student, and he is super smart, super intellectual. You may know him from the Occult of Personality podcast. We've had him on the show a number of times, as well as I've been on his program to talk about various Masonic occult subjects. Greg's podcast, of course, the Occult of Personality podcast, is the premier occult podcast. Just a little bit about these presentations. I want you to know that this is going to be in Libertyville, Illinois, again on May 9th and May 10th. You're going to pay one price, which is $21, and you actually get to come to either one or both of these presentations. They are open to men and women and open to the public. So again, it's an extremely rare opportunity, and the funds that we raise with this are really just going to be spent on getting Greg out here and some travel. The first presentation on May 9th is the Kabbalistic Alchemy of David Heim Smith's Kabbalah for Understanding, Alchemy for Practice, Gnosis for Truth. He's going to have copies of David Heim Smith's most recent two books, Deep Principles of Kabbalistic Alchemy, which I have, is a great book, and his new one called Bath of Bright Silence will be available for purchase, so it's pretty exciting there. David Heim Smith, who is this guy? Well, he was born in 1964 out in Queens, New York, and his early career was as a visual artist throughout the 1980s, and in 1990 he actually began an immersion into the root sources of alchemy and the Hermetic and Hebrew traditions of the Kabbalah, which is pretty interesting. He's no longer a active Mason of any sorts, but he did go through the degrees at one point, and he's just not active anymore, but it is quite interesting. And on May 10th, Brother Kaminsky is going to be talking about celestial intelligences. And this presentation kind of explores the syncretic ideas of the Italian Renaissance philosopher Pico de Mirandola, or Pico as he's known. So this was back, 1463, 1494, and it's a really interesting set of philosophical analysis. But just to give you a brief overview of Greg, he is a scholar of the Western esotericism, and he is recently completing his graduate degree, again, in medieval studies, and that's at Harvard. He's a lifelong student of history, religion, and all these things. So if you're interested, please go to tinyurl.com/492edu, and you should be taken right to this two-night event. If you can't find it, please just stop on by our Facebook page, click on the events under WCY, and you'll see it there. And it's, again, two nights, $21. You can come to one or both, open to anybody. It's going to be a fantastic time, so please check that out. That same date, May 9th, I'll be in D.C. out at Manassas Chapter doing a presentation on the word there. It'll be a dual meeting night. There, they'll be having Blue Lodge out, and the Royal Arch will be out there. So we've got a lot of things happening. We're presenting all over the place, and we're getting a lot done. But again, please consider coming out to some of those events. So due to the presentation schedule that I've got coming up, I do find it necessary to actually have a little bit of a shorter episode this week. I do apologize. It's probably going to be a little bit of a shorter next week and the week after that due to the schedules. I'm going to try to get some great content out there for you guys. I never want to let you down. So the first piece I have this week actually comes from the California Freemason magazine. They did a whole issue on sacred geometry, and they attacked it from many angles. So I just wanted to kind of prime this great issue. If you guys head over to the Masons of California, which is freemason.org. Just right at the top, they have their banner, and you can click on Sacred Geometry issue right now. I think it's a wonderful issue. You guys really should check it out. I'll read you a primer for the rest of the issue, and it's called Masonic Education of a Divine and Moral Nature, Understanding Masonic Sacred Geometry by James Lincoln Warren. The term sacred geometry can be somewhat intimidating. How might geometry be sacred, one might wonder, and how does masonry fit in? The core concept of sacred geometry is that geometric order, shapes, curves, and constructs precedes all physical existence, that geometry was invented by the great architect of the universe as a structure through which to order all of creation. Under this tradition, its symbols take on metaphysical and symbolic meanings. Geometry, or masonry, originally synonymous terms, is a divine of moral nature, wrote William Preston, a seminal figure in 18th century British Freemasonry. Quote, "The contemplation of this science in a moral and comprehensive view fills the mind with rapture and proves the existence of a first cause." End quote. For some, all of geometry is sacred. At the other extreme, sacred geometry may be regarded as a system of fixed symbols and their relationships. As a coherent system, the origins of sacred geometry in Western civilization can be traced to the 6th century BCE philosophical school of Pythagoras. The historical Pythagoras is essentially a cipher, as there are no contemporary accounts of his philosophy. His extensive legend, however, along with the writings of Plato, Aristotle, and his other followers, were transmitted through the centuries and had a direct influence on the development of speculative Freemasonry. Like Freemasonry, sacred geometry appeals to both the rational and the creative mind. While geometric proof is relentlessly logical, the truths it conveys and patterns it reveals within the natural world urge its scholars to contemplate their place in God's cosmos. Many sacred geometric applications and symbols are familiar to Masons. First is the circumpoint, the point within a circle. In Masonry, the point represents an individual, and the circle, the limits of his behavior. In sacred geometry, this symbol is called the monad, which represented divinity and the universe to Pythagoras. The standalone circle, being without end, symbolizes divinity and heavens. It is created using a compass and defined by three points. These points can be interpreted as the three principal tenets of Freemasonry: brotherly love, relief, and truth, the last of which is often described as a divine attribute. As a divine symbol, these points can be interpreted to correspond with St. Paul's theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. These virtues are said to originate in God, and they are evoked in the celestial first-degree description of the covering of the lodge as heaven itself. The circle's complement is the square, bound by the four finite sides. It represents the limits of the physical world and our mortal existence. In Masonry, the square represents the perfect ashlar, a perfectly shaped square block without faults that is strong and steadfast, capable of supporting the blocks around it. Masons work to emulate this square, to be men of good character who are honest and reliable members of our communities. The square is reflected in the shape of the lodge room. The room's sides correspond to the four cardinal points of the compass, and thus to the map of Earth. It contains the four cardinal virtues adapted from Plato's Republic, which originate in man: temperance, fortitude, prudence, and justice. A slightly more complex symbol is the Pythagorean tetrasites, an equilateral triangle formed by 10 dots which has a prominent role in the Scottish Rite. This has many symbolic meanings, but an important one is perfection or completeness, derived from the symbolic significance of the number 10. The 3-4-5 right triangle, which displays the 47th problem of Euclid as explained in the third degree, teaches Masons to be general lovers of the arts and sciences. Operative Masons use the length of the rope, divided into 12 equal segments, 3+4+5, to make this triangle. It provided them with a swift and accurate method of creating a right triangle to be used as a template for the Mason's square. Sacred geometric symbolism, which can be very complex, is only touched on lightly in the three degrees. Its most prominent place is in the second degree, where the candidate is urged to study the liberal arts and sciences, especially of the noble science of geometry. As with all profound Masonic lessons, the instruction conveyed in the ritual is the beginning of wisdom to be discovered on this subject, not its culmination. There are profound depths ready to be plumbed. The study of sacred geometry is a means by which to view with reverence and admiration the glorious works of the creation, and to inspire a Mason, quote unquote, with the most exalted ideas of the perfection of his divine creator. Although one understanding of sacred geometry is that its forms are divine manifestations in the natural world, one must take time to scrutinize the natural world in order to deduce them and marvel at their presence. Preston wrote with lyrical awe on the beauty of geometry and nature, from the most elegant seashell and flower to the vastness of space. As he professed in words forever enshrined in masonry, by geometry we curiously trace nature through her various windings to her most concealed recesses. By it we discover the power, wisdom, and goodness of the great artificer of the universe. A survey of nature and the observation of her beauty proportions first determined man to imitate the divine plan and to study symmetry and order. End quote. This is the true objective of sacred geometry and its symbols, finding further light within masonry. Again, this is from the California Freemason by James Lincoln Warren. The latest issue you can find on freemasonry.org. If you'd like to reprint this article in your publication, it is granted to all recognized Masonic publications with credit to the author, photographer, and this publication. If you have any questions, you can contact the editor at editor@freemason.org. All right, next up I've got a piece from Brother Todd E. Creason, the Midnight Freemasons founder. This comes from midnightfreemasons.org, midnightfreemasons.org, and it's called The Millennial Generation Seeking the Authentic. We hosted a Masonic education symposium at my lodge last weekend for the Illinois Lodge of Research. One of the speakers we invited was a past noble grand of the Odd Fellows, Ainsley Hylick, and something Ainsley said stuck with me. Ainsley is what you would refer to as a member of the quote-unquote millennial generation, and the work Ainsley and a group of predominantly millennial generation Oddfellows have done building a new Oddfellows Lodge in Tuscola, Illinois, is simply remarkable. Most of the group brand new. New Oddfellow members. This is why we invited Ainsley to speak to begin with. You see, the Freemasons and Oddfellows alike aren't exactly sure what to make of the millennial generation. We don't think they're interested in what we have to offer. We believe they'd find our ritual too old-fashioned and view our values as a relic left over from the long-forgotten past, but that's not true at all. Ainsley said the millennial generation is searching for authenticity. They are seeking authentic experiences, something far more real than posting a photo on social media and seeing how many people, quote-unquote, like it. And if you think about it, I'll bet you come to the realization that this is absolutely true. When a new barbershop opened in a small town near me, I figured it would appeal to guys my age and older. This is a quote-unquote real barbershop, with a barber dressed in traditional dress. Barbers have gone to barber school, not cosmetology college. You get a haircut, maybe a shave with a straight-edge razor if you're feeling brave. The whole hot towel, powder, and tonic treatment, along with the conversation of barbershops, have been famous for since barbershops began. It takes a lot longer to get a good haircut from a barber, and it costs a little more, but if you go once, you won't be able to deny you get a far superior cut from a barber. The quality of a barber haircut and the experience of going to a shop set up with relaxation and conversation in mind is something I've missed. But it's something millennials never knew, and I'd say the vast majority of customers at my barber shop are millennials. And Joe has opened two new barber shops since he opened the first one. The demand is there, and they are busy. You better make an appointment a week ahead, because they're booked a week out, usually. Millennials don't mind paying a little more for something that takes longer, so long as the experience is authentic and the quality is unmatched. On that, we certainly agree. Another example. We have an annual event in the small town near me. It started small and has ballooned into this huge event that brings in nearly 10,000 people in this very small, out-of-the-way town in central Illinois. It's a festival that celebrates old-fashioned sodas. Many handcrafted, small-batch, small-bottlers, most of them made with natural ingredients, with real cane sugar. You've never tasted anything better on a hot day than an authentic cola made with real cola nut extract and cane sugar, or a handcrafted root beer made with real flavors like sassafras and sweetened with honey. Hundreds of different kinds of sodas to taste, colas, root beers, ginger ales, orange, grape, you name it, and you'll find it in Homer, Illinois during the annual soda festival. Again, for me, soda used to taste better than it does now. So it's a nostalgic trip down memory lane for me. The millennials are there because, again, they've never had that experience, and they realize soda can be so much better than a mass-produced and bottled artificial flavors, corn syrup, and carbonation you'll find on the shelf today. You want to talk about the popularity of craft beers and home brewing with millennials? Same reasons. They are seeking the real and authentic, a quality some of us older guys remember but had left the stage long before they arrived on it. Those of us who are 50-plus remember the days when jeans lasted longer than 6 months, when your t-shirts didn't start getting holes in them after the fourth wash, or when a new pair of glasses didn't break a month after you got them. I'd like to see those days back, and I think the millennials just might be able to get that done. But don't get me wrong, I was going somewhere with this. You see, it's not just products that millennials are seeking out to fulfill this desire for what is real and authentic. They are looking for authenticity in their life experience as well. They are looking for real connections in a world far beyond social media. They are looking for a better way to live and places where they can belong, places where they can learn to become better men. And they can learn about values that will enrich their lives. Moral teachings that are authentic and time-honored. Opportunities that offer them the ability to grow as individuals as they get involved in their communities and learn valuable skills and leadership. Is there a better description of Freemasonry? This is, without question, an opportunity for Freemasonry, but it's also a challenge. We have to be ready to meet these expectations when the millennials petition. In too many lodges today, this kind of teaching, mentoring, environment just doesn't exist. I know very few Masons that don't have an example of that young guy that joined their lodge, went through all the degrees, seemed very enthusiastic, came to a few meetings, and then never came back. It should be easy to understand why. He didn't find what he expected to. New member retention is a really good gauge of how your lodge is doing. We've really got to look at ourselves first. What are we offering these young men? What kinds of programs do we have for them that would appeal? What is their expectation, and are we prepared to meet it? Are we ready to begin training and mentoring another generation of men? What do we need to do to get back to our mission of making good men better? There's a lot of work ahead, perhaps, but there are about 40 million undeniable reasons right here in the United States of America why this might be well worth doing. We are exactly what they're looking for. Tried, true, time-tested, authentic. Toddy Creason. Again, that piece is from the Midnight Freemasons, where we publish 3 articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It's your best source for new Masonic content every week. That's it for this week. If you enjoyed this thing that we have, this awesome, great podcast that you guys have all made so popular, please consider checking out the Masonic Roundtable, where we go live every Tuesday at 10/9 Central. It's a great time. You can interact with us live right on YouTube in the chat window next to the video that's playing. And that's it, guys. So if you are going to be in Missouri, this is a new update. I will actually be down at the Scottish Rite Valley of St. Louis next weekend, and I'll be doing a little talk down there, I think. And if I see you down there, come on and stop by and say hello. But until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.